Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable. Questions like, why is the sky dark at night? Is it possible to build a shrink ray gun? If there is antimatter, can there be anti-people? Why are past, present, and future our only options? Dave Goldberg, perhaps the planet's coolest nerd physicist, not only answers those questions, but he also reveals the more profound discoveries of physics with enthusiasm and accessibility in his new book, The Universe in the Rearview Mirror, How Hidden Symmetries Shape Reality. Dave Goldberg is an award-winning professor and director of undergraduate studies in the Department of Physics at Drexel University. He writes the Ask a Physicist column for the popular science site io9.com and blogs at usersguidetotheuniverse.com. His new book, again, The Universe in the Rearview Mirror, symmetry is the great unsung hero behind all of the big physics of the last 100 years and what lies ahead. To explain this and to have your head stop hurting, we welcome Dave Goldberg to the program. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
It is a pleasure to have you aboard. I appreciate it. Give us a sense of what got you thinking about this, of ultimately explaining science in this way, because even though you can sometimes go down a road where it is explainable, it still makes your head hurt.
Well,
or
so
can.
The in this way is both symmetry and popular science generally. I have always been very, very interested in trying to convey the big discoveries to the general public, because if you don't, then it's just a bunch of specialists talking amongst themselves in a circle. But I'll say for me, one of the biggest goals has always been basically trying to be honest with my audience in a way that I feel that many but not all popularizers are. In other words, I don't want to just say, here's a fact about the universe, isn't that amazing? Just take my word for it. Instead, I wanted to give readers an idea of what it is that we know, but more importantly, how it is we know it. And the longer I thought about this, for this particular book, the longer I thought about how can you create sort of a coherent picture of how the universe works in a fun way, in a comprehensive way, and in a way that doesn't require a lot of math or previous knowledge, the more I thought about it, the more there's a common theme at all of it, and that is symmetry. So symmetry is a simple idea. You know, you look in the mirror, and the person staring back at you looks kind of like you. Flip yourself in the mirror, and you look more or less the same. That's not that surprising, and at the fundamental level, particles look the same way. If I take interactions of particles and I look at them in the mirror, they look more or less the same. But it turns out that when you start building things up in this way, you get this incredibly elegant picture of how the universe works, and hopefully an incredibly intuitive way of how the universe works. But there's a lot of surprises in there. I mean, so I mentioned looking in the mirror, things look symmetric. But there are some things that are just totally, totally surprising if you've never heard them before. For example, if I take the output from a particle collider and I look at, you know, the trajectories of all the particles and all the interactions and all of that, and I just look at the exact same thing, I take a movie of it and then I just run that movie in reverse, the reverse looks perfectly fine. Another way of saying it is the laws of physics don't care if time is going forward or time is going backwards. But you and I care. You know, I remember the past and not the future, and things seem to get more disordered over time. There's clearly something that distinguishes the future from the past, but it's not immediately obvious in the laws of physics what that is. So basically the idea is there's this overarching theme to, like, everything we know about how the universe works, and that is symmetry. So I try to give readers a tour through all of that.
So when you, using your example of running the tape backwards, so if looking at symmetry, because then it isn't symmetric then anymore, is it?
No, that's right. I mean, so there's something very surprising about all of this. So the particles interact, you know, they don't care about forward or back. The laws of physics seem more or less is a very, very tiny thing in what's called the weak force. And the weak force, despite its name, is actually pretty important. It governs the burning of the sun, the nuclear burning inside the sun. There's a slight difference in the weak force. But beyond that, almost every experiment you could possibly do to about one part in a billion accuracy looks the same if you run it forward and backwards. So why is it that big things like us clearly do care about the where does this asymmetry in our everyday lives come from if there's a symmetry underlying it in the universe? And, you know, to put it another way, is the arrow of time something that's built in, something that just continues to exist, and because of that we remember the past? Or is the arrow of time something that basically develops? There's a thing called the second law of thermodynamics, which sounds complicated, but basically it's just that things get more disordered over time. The universe as a whole gets more disordered over time. So is it that the universe gets more disordered over time, or does time go the way it does because that's the direction that things are getting more disordered? And the short answer is, we don't know. So a lot of this book is sort of guiding people through what it is we do know, but I think a very, very important part of this is just saying, hey, look, there's plenty. You know, we act as though we're this priesthood of science. There's a lot we don't know, but here are some ideas. And I want you to, and I want to be very clear, these are just ideas about how these things might get put together, as opposed to these other things that we're pretty darn sure are correct.
So, and that's what you would refer to as a hidden symmetry, of the things that we're not quite sure of.
Well, the hidden symmetries can be things we're not quite sure of. They can also be things that, to the naked eye, wouldn't look alike at all, but turn out to just be sort of a consequence of these weird rules of physics that we have, things that look very different. So one of the things that I think a normal person reading a newspaper article or hearing a radio program or watching the TV can get confused about when they hear physics, and even physicists get confused about this, is this just this huge list of particles that show up, quarks and gluons and neutrinos and so on, and they just this list, and they just wash over most people, and understandably. And physicists pat ourselves on the back because we're like, we've got this wonderful what's called standard model of physics that describes everything, that's supposed to describe all of these particles and how massive they are and what their charges are and how they interact with one another. And a person just looking at this could say, well, aren't you just giving things names? Aren't you just listing things? Where does this come from? Well, it turns out a big part of where it comes from is that these particles that look totally different. I'll give you an example. So there's a thing called the electron. Most people have heard the electron. It's the thing that runs through wires and runs your electronics.
Right.
And there's another particle called the neutrino, which we don't really experience at all. There are literally billions of them going through your body right now, and they interact so weakly that our bodies don't even notice. It turns out that for much of physics, those two particles may as well be identical, may as well be the exact same thing. It's only that one has a charge and one doesn't that makes them so different. And from that, all this other structure arises. So, this thing we don't even care about at all, the neutrino, and this thing that we couldn't live without, we couldn't get any chemistry, we couldn't have any interactions, we couldn't make molecules without the electron, they turn out to be, in many respects, almost identical if you look at it the right way. So that's a hidden symmetry. That's something that would never have occurred to you unless you were already sort of thinking along those lines. And so what I try to do is I try to walk people through the obvious symmetries until you get to the hidden symmetries. And then you realize, oh my goodness, these things are all around us. It's the thing that governs everything up to and including the successful prediction of the Higgs boson that made so much news last year.
I want to talk about that in a moment, but when you look at how we address this, how much of what we know about physics, how much of the rules that you spoke of are concrete that we can all agree on, and like much of science, how much of it is something that we're still debating and learning about, and there are question marks that remain?
So I don't know that I could just put them into two piles. I think to some degree it's a continuum. We know, for example, that even things that are correct, that we are able to build technology around, that we make important predictions around. General relativity, Einstein's theory of gravity, for example, is a wonderful example, something that is really quite true. It overthrew Newtonian picture, Newton's gravity, that he came up with several hundred years earlier, and is correct. And not only is correct, it predicts things like black holes, and we see that there seems to be a black hole at the center of our galaxy. It predicts that light can be bent by massive objects, which was first observed by Arthur Eddington. He saw there was an eclipse and a star seemed to be deflected by the sun by just the right amount in 1919. Like, these are things that are correct, and all sorts of other calculations that wouldn't work. Our GPSs, our positioning systems wouldn't work unless relativity were correct, Einstein's theory.
Mm.
But yet, Einstein's theory clearly has to be wrong in some way. All of our other theories of the universe, how electricity works, for example, are governed by what's called quantum mechanics. Quantum mechanics is basically the physics on the world of the very, very small. And there's all sorts of things that you may have heard of, like the uncertainty principle introduces randomness into the physical universe, and waves, and all sorts of complexities. But the thing is, at the centers of black holes, and at the beginning of the universe, gravity is incredibly strong. General relativity clearly must be very important. But also, quantum mechanics, because these are very small scales, must be very, very important. And yet, we have no idea how to combine the two of them into a theory of what's known as quantum gravity. So here's this thing that here's actually two theories that we know are correct in numerous, huge numbers of applications, but clearly can't both be correct in some limits. So there's some way of combining them. There's a deeper theory that we don't understand. But then there are things that we're less secure on, and there's just more and more and more unanswered questions. And one of the big ones is the fact that 95% of the universe is in a form that we just don't understand. So about 5% of the universe is made up of ordinary atoms and stuff like you and me. But then the other 95% is made up of two components, one called dark matter, which basically holds galaxies together, and dark energy, which causes them to accelerate. And we haven't detected dark matter in a lab. We don't know where dark energy comes from. People have theories about where they come from, but they're off by a factor of something like 10 to the 100 in how much of it there should be when they just do their calculations. So there are big problems with some of these theories that, you know, we need to address. That we've clearly got a working theory that we know that there are great big gaping holes in. And then at the other, you know, and then sort of the other end of the spectrum entirely, there are things where people are just purely speculative. Things like string theory that you may have heard of, that says we have 10 dimensions besides time. Things like that, where there are people who think very deeply about it, but they're not accepted by the general physics population at all. The good people are working on it, but it's not accepted as science and as a final theory. And so, if you just tell someone this is how the universe works, you're lying to them in some sense, because we don't know that that's how the universe works. So there's a very, very wide range.
The name of the book is The Universe in the Rearview Mirror: How Hidden Symmetries Shape Reality. It is published by Dutton. Dave Goldberg, a pleasure to have you on the program. I thank you very much for sharing your knowledge with us.
It was a great pleasure being here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book, The Universe in the Rearview Mirror, published by Dutton. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.